1 minute 13 seconds after the hour of 11. It is the month of March in the year of our Lord 2007. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the watchfully appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 570 Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show, and Sarah just walked into the kitchen with her zipper down. In case anybody out there is playing the home game, I want everybody to know.
I want you to know I was aware.
I don't like to hold back information and keep things from the audience. I like all of us to be on the same page.
Well, it was really embarrassing because there's a sales guy in there, and I know that he saw it, and then I'm like, oh, but I'm wearing a really long shirt, so I just, like, pulled it down because I didn't want to, you know.
The best part is when you discover it at 4 p.m. in the afternoon and you haven't been to the bathroom for like 8 hours. And then you wonder how many people have been staring in through your zipper at your crotch. Whatever you do, don't think about that. Don't obsess. Who was in the kitchen? I bet it was sales guys.
It was three guys.
Was it sales?
Yeah.
Yes. Fantastic. All right. Hey, it's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Cavalcade of Whimsy. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your what have you. If you'd like to join us today, telephonically speaking, in a super telepsychotronic kind of way, it is 503-733-2970. You can also email, if you would like, in a series of ones and zeros through the interwebs, rick@rickemerson.com. It's Friday, and welcome to Day 12. Thank you for coming along. All right. I would also like to note, for the record, that Scotty has a brand new cell phone. It's not a BlackBerry. Is it a Blackjack? Is that the thing, Scotty? It's a Blackjack. Is it from Singular? Is that who? Okay. Does it sing hilarious slavery songs? Okay, just checking. Anyway, so he's got this Blackjack, and I'm unclear about whether he doesn't know how to turn the speakerphone off or whether he's just taken it. Because you remember when cell phones first came out, and I don't want to do all like a bad stand-up, the comic thing about cell phones. But you know when cell phones first came out, there was this thing where everybody would talk on them at like 15 times the necessary volume level. And it's because they felt that their conversations were so gripping that you had to hear them all. So you'd be sitting at like a Waffle House, and there'd be some guy like three booths away, and he's busy talking to his podiatrist, and he decides that you have to hear, yes, no, it's lumpy and misshapen and green around the edges. Well, what if you massage it? And you're sitting there trying to eat, and it's just some guy having some revolting conversation. So Scotty's now, here in 2007, Scotty's taken that one step further, where he's got his new Blackjack, and I swear to God, because I was walking into the kitchen just now, and you walk past Scotty's room, he has, and you know, it's like the size of, you know, it's a cell phone. It's not big. It's a regular cell phone type thing. It just happens to have the full keyboard on it. So he's got it sitting on the countertop, and he's got it permanently in speakerphone mode. And he's just, I can't really explain exactly the posture, the pose that he has. But he sits there, and he sort of tilts his head forward at like a 25-degree angle. And he just speaks down to it like he's that guy on Charlie's Angels. Like he's that guy looking dead. Angels, I need you on a mission. Like he just looks down and he goes, Hello, this is Scott. I'm calling to see if you still have that special going on radial tires. And he's incapable of picking up the phone and actually just speaking into it himself. So now everybody up and down the hallway gets to hear Scotty. And because he doesn't pick up he's got the phone on speaker, but he won't actually pick it up. And he just leaves it sitting on the counter, which means he's obliged into shout to make it, to make himself heard.
Damn phone.
I think your microphone is on.
I hate our damn phone.
Your microphone is on.
I know.
Okay. Just letting you know. Anyway, so he's obliged to then shout into it, so you get to hear Scotty's conversations as you walk up and down the hallway. It's a glorious day. All right, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email. It's rick@rickemerson.com. People are already calling to know the resolution to the insect thing, so we'll get to that here in just a skosh, as our Asian friends say. We'll talk about that. CNN radio correspondent James Roop is going to be joining us later on from Los Angeles. We'll also talk to... really, is that true? Is that so, Scotty? I never would have guessed. All right. Well, also talk to Lisa Goddard joining us from The Hill today. Bob Costantini was also speaking about something, but I decided it would just... It would just be pointless.
You've kind of given up on Bob, haven't you?
There's no humor to be found there. He's like a strip-mined Appalachian mountain. There's nothing left within Bob Costantini that I can pull out, comedically speaking. So we'll get him whenever I have no choice and whenever there's a gripping story going on. But until then, really, that just is a, that's just a sad road of tears that ends, that goes nowhere. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com is going to be here. He's going to talk about the new film, 300, which opens today, which I'm largely uninterested in seeing, but which I know that the geeks out there are. It just looks like a video game to me. And I hate, and all makes me sound old. And I'm not going to dwell on it now because he's going to be in later on to talk about it. I realize that that's a thing that a lot of people say. It used to be that if you were old and out of touch, you would just compare films to MTV videos. That's what it is. It doesn't really look like a film. It just looks like a long video from the M television. And that's how you would sort of describe a film that doesn't look like something you want to see. Now, if you don't want to see a film because it's CGI heavy, you just complain that it looks like a video game. And so it's become kind of a cliche, but that is exactly what that 300 film looks like. And I just got... It holds no appeal for me. But we'll find out what he thinks. What else? We'll have the top five Alice Cooper songs you don't ever hear on the radio. His birthday passed a couple weeks ago, but we'll do the top five today. Top five Alice Cooper songs you more than likely do not hear played on the radio. What else? Selma Hayek passes over Rick Emerson and marries some 90-year-old guy with $1 billion instead. Oh, and also she's pregnant, so that was fun while it lasted. Now it's all going to be shot to hell. It's all going to be ruined. Let's see. Eddie Van Halen is dead. His body just doesn't know it yet. And so he walks around like an unholy brain-eating zombie, lurching this way and that, looking for stem cells at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Which CNN really ought to have somebody talking about. But for whatever reason, they don't. Well, so there you go. All right. All that plus other things. Other things that escape my memory at the moment. They can't have been that compelling to begin with. In any event. 503-733-2970. We'll get these calls here in just a second. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Stone. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
All right, apart from the zipper issue.
It isn't an issue. I'm
whatever
not
you do, don't think about those guys having that burned into their brains as an enduring image of you.
I really don't care.
I'm just saying, it's not the sort of thing you want to dwell on. You got to move fastest.
Okay.
You can't let this get inside your head. Don't let it rattle you.
It's not.
You stay in the zone.
I am.
Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
All right, some big news coming out of Washington today. First, the FBI misused the Patriot Act. They promised to stop doing it from now on.
Okay.
And Newt Gingrich admits to having an affair at the same time of prosecuting Bill Clinton for the Lewinsky thing.
I'm shocked. Not that shocked.
And some good news, this person does look quite a bit like the person in the picture, but so far, a person of interest, and that's all they're saying he is, in connection with the shooting of the man at the Belmont grocery store, is being questioned by cops in the Coup about two robberies in that city, but they may be related.
So they don't know if it's the guy.
No.
Is he guilty of something?
No. No, he hasn't gone to court for anything yet.
Okay, but I mean, come on. We can all speak as adults. Is he guilty of something?
He is guilty of looking like the person in the surveillance photo.
That's enough for me. Let's go beat him senseless.
And Hillsborough police are stuck with 139 rabbits.
Fantastic. Pets are meat. All right, it's 503-73. That's a little pop culture reference that I try to throw out every now and then. That's another 1% joke. 503-733-2970. This email says, Rick, about the speakerphone, my boss does the same goddamn thing. She will sit there with her hands in her lap, leaning over her phone, yelling into it, as if everyone in the hallway wants to hear her latest argument with her troll-like husband. It's infuriating. Pick up the goddamn receiver. So true. All right. Anywho, all right. Well, let's get a couple of these calls here, and then we'll talk about some other things, and then so forth. We'll move forward and do what we do. This is our good friend Dante, the cab driver. Hello, sir.
Hello, Dr. Laura. Thanks for taking my call.
Stop it now.
Sorry. Anyhow, this gentleman up in the Coup, and I use the term gentleman loosely, very loosely, was apparently found to own a silver hockey mask, or at least to be in possession of said silver hockey mask, which was, in fact, used during one of the other robberies that occurred up in the Coup.
Who robbed people wearing a hockey? Well, I guess this guy. Not this guy in the Coup, but the guy they're looking for, I guess.
Not just a hockey mask, but a silver hockey mask.
You think, and I'm not trying to give tips to would-be thieves and criminals out there, but you would think that you would pick something nondescript.
Yeah.
You would think that Tim, the guy that robbed the Belmont place, was he wearing a silver hockey mask?
I'm not sure if he was at the time, but he looks like he's kind of wearing like a hoodie Unabomber type of thing.
He's wearing a Kaczynski. He does look, he looks like a ne'er-do-well. He looks like he's up to something. He looks like he's up to no good.
I mean, like the idea. I like the idea of referring to that as the Kaczynski look.
Well, it is. I mean, that's wearing a hood, and if you've got the hood and sunglasses, that's what everybody calls that now. That's just what it's referred to as. All right, thank you.
Hi, Doug.
All right, there you go. All right. 503-733-2970. We'll have more news on that as it sort of unfolds today. What else? Mark, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Not at all, sir. Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to find out the resolution on Sarah's bath bug.
Oh, man, I got to tell you this. Now, look, I know that yesterday was Relatable Thursday, so this sort of thing is expected. But even by Relatable Thursday standards and even by the Portland pandering standards of this radio program, you have no idea the amount of response. I mean, this morning. Look, I mean, I checked my email for the last time around 10 o'clock last night. And now let me just take this side note to address something. People often complain that they email me and then the emails are not returned in a timely fashion. Sometimes somebody email me, I don't get back to them at all. And it's just because... You know, it's not like I'm, I'm Johnny Depp or something. But I get a fair amount of emails this day. I get a few hundred emails a day, and so I'm able to I read them all, but I don't get a chance to respond to all of them. But even by the admittedly high input standards that my email box normally has, I logged on for the last time around 10 o'clock last night. I go to bed, I come in, I wake up this morning, I come in, I check my email, and there's like another 75 emails. It's usually from people that are just weighing in about the bug. They got pictures of the bug. They want to come kill the bug. They're sending me scary anecdotes about their own encounters with the bug. So, I mean, it was all anybody wanted to talk about yesterday.
This is the bug.
No, it's true. No, clearly a tin chair is in discussions of insects. That's the way to connect with the Portland audience. So... It's a fair point. So when we land, so I will, I'm going to go ahead and put you on hold here, and we'll go ahead and answer this off the air. Our phone's making a wacky noise. So yesterday Sarah called me because you were all nuded up and you were trying to shower.
Okay, you need to stop wording things like that.
It's true. You were without clothing. You were naked.
I had a robe.
You were preparing to be nude to step in it. I'm just saying because that increases the horror. Here's why. Would you like to know why that increases the horror of the bug?
Okay, why?
Here's why bugs are terrifying. Bugs are terrifying because of the subconscious and subliminal fear that they could crawl into an orifice on your body, like your ear, your nose, your mouth while you sleep. That's why. That's why human beings, I've thought about this a lot. I spent a lot of my life thinking about such things. This is why people are afraid of spiders, but not lobsters. Like, you know, like if I had a lobster sitting here in a tank, you'd look at it and you'd be like, well, okay, fine, whatever. But if I have a spider sitting in a tank, you're going to be unnerved. And if a lobster was only half an inch long and you saw it on your bed, you're already scratching yourself just thinking about it.
That is unnerving.
Because the implication subconsciously is that it could crawl into your brain while you're asleep.
I had a bug crawl in my ear once. A roly-poly.
That's what I'm talking about. The potato bug?
A potato bug.
The kind that they roll up into like a little ball?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, so she came to her. You came to her yesterday, and you'd left the bug in the bathtub. And we spent the better part of yesterday trying to identify what it was. And it's not a silverfish, despite what all the wiseacres on the phone would have us believe. It is...
It's a house centipede, right?
It is, I believe, what Wikipedia refers to as a common house centipede. And so you tried to get your roommates to kill it. They weren't home. Your friend Kiki was going to go over and take care of it, and she wasn't able to go over. And so you go home last night. Well, you got home around 5 o'clock?
Yeah, I got home probably like 5:30.
Immediately the phone on my desk rings, and I pick it up, and says, it's still in the bathtub. It's still here. It's been waiting for me. I don't know what to do. And so how did you... Now, is it still there, or did you just...
No, I finally... My roommate came home, and so he... So I got a Tupperware container and a tissue, and he was going to squish it. I'm like, don't squish it. We can just take it outside. So he tried to catch it, and that little thing started darting around the bathtub. I mean, people were calling yesterday saying that it moved really fast.
And then the jig was up.
I had no idea how fast it would move. It was just, like, zipping around the bathtub. We couldn't catch it. Finally, my roommate was able to catch it with the tissue and put it in the Tupperware thing, and then we got it outside. But... I don't know what happened. He didn't touch it very hard, but a bunch of his legs fell off. And then they were twitching on the bathtub. Like, after we... They were twitching for a good minute after we brought the insect outside, because Ben ran out with the bug.
Oh, that's fantastic.
They were still moving. Oh.
That's hilarious. It's like one of those lizards where... What are those lizards they have in Mexico where you try to grab it and the tail just comes off in your hand and then it regrows later? legs twitching in the bathtub.
It was weird because he wasn't aggressive. They just kind of fell off. I wonder if it was some kind of defense mechanism.
It's because he's sprouting wings. Sprouting wings and new bio legs. New bionic stilts that he's going to use to walk back into the house and extract revenge upon you.
Yeah, well, he was just as big when I got home.
You shouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't.
But man, when people were calling in yesterday saying that those things move fast, I was like, oh yeah, because I just saw him kind of slowly crawling. That thing was zipping around the bathtub.
Okay, would you like, and here's the thing, would you like to hear the single, this is the single worst thing. The single worst insect, and then we're not going to talk about insects anymore after today. It's going to be it. We're going to be done. We're going to be over. I'm not going to talk about this anymore because the insect is gone. It's dead. I'm just going to say this. The very worst insect encounter I have ever had in my life, and this is, and I grew up in Kennewick, which is sort of a desert, and so there's like black, and regardless of whatever that guy said yesterday, there are black widow spiders in the Northwest. I don't care what anybody said, because they're in the woods, if nothing else. Like, if you go logging at all, or if you go cut down firewood and you bring it home, they're all over that. But this has nothing to do with spiders, nothing to do with any of that. I remember being a kid one time, I was in my room late at night, and I heard like a little like scurrying sound, and I look over, and there's some big creepy crawly thing, and there was a section of my bedroom floor that was concrete. It's kind of a long story, but it was uncarpeted. And so there's this bug crawling across the concrete section of my bedroom. And when you're a kid, you just sort of reach for, like, whatever's handy. It doesn't matter. You don't really think these things through. Your brain doesn't really go from A to Z all the time. It just kind of goes from A to L. So there's this huge insect. And I still don't know what it was. That's the other creepy part. There's this insect-type thing crawling across the floor. I notice that it's about 11:30 at night. My parents are asleep. Nobody else is around. And it's like it's advancing on me. And, of course, I was a kid, so it seemed huge. The thing is advancing on me, and I look around for something to attack it with. And, of course, the first thing I find is an X-Acto knife, because I had an X-Acto knife in there because I was like, I'd been, I don't know, carving words in my arm or whatever. Whatever it is the kids do. And so, and I can remember this. This is one of those stories that now I think about it, and it doesn't seem like it could possibly be true, but I swear to God it happened. Now that I think about it, it seems like a thing that I must have hallucinated, but I swear to God I remember it happening. So the insect is sort of crawling across the floor. The only thing I can find, because I don't want to use my bare hands, and I couldn't find like a brick or an encyclopedia or whatever to squash it. So the first thing I find is an X-Acto knife. So I find an X-Acto knife, and I just sort of lean over and I kind of go, wham! And I just sort of skewer the insect with an X-Acto knife, and I swear to God, it made like a squealing noise. I swear to God, it was like it squealed in horror as I skewered it. And I don't know what kind of an insect squeals, but that's a thing that'll haunt your dreams. That's a thing that'll live in your nightmares for any number of them. Scotty, is this... All right, this is the guy who called. Yeah, okay. Well, so there you go. So there's the answer to Mark's... There's the answer to Mark's insect question. So there you go. So we can move off of... We can move off of insects. What does he... Why? Oh, for the love of God, fine. Yes, Mark.
You got me back. Hey, I want to point you to YouTube and search for giant millipede. It's the last insect you'll see, and it will give you nightmares.
Is
forever.
This the thing attacking the mouse?
That's the thing.
Oh, that's
yeah, no,
so
we've
wrong.
All no, yeah, we've all seen that. We've all seen that. It's a horrible. That may be, in fact, the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. The YouTube video of the
scared me like nobody's business.
Of the centipede, yeah, it's like a centipede attacking like a rat or a mouse or something, and then just consuming. It's all kinds of bad. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. And we're done. We're done talking about the insect. Now, we're finished. We're done. We never have to worry about it again. So there you go. We're going to head into the weekend. We're going to head into the weekend during which apparently daylight savings time is supposed to happen. So today is Friday the 9th. Today's Friday the 9th, which is... And daylight savings time, is that Sunday? When does daylight savings time happen?
Daylight savings time happens Sunday morning at 2 a.m.
So that's Saturday going into Sunday, when it suddenly becomes... So when at two it becomes three? Is that the deal?
Yes.
All right, so there you go. So everybody, and I got like 15 different emails in my box this morning telling me about this, like, I got to come in and I got to restart my computer here, and then I got to restart my computer at home. And I'm not going to get off into another thing about daylight savings time and how it infuriates me because I don't know the purpose of it. But I am going to ask this question because this is something that Sarah brought up this morning, and I swear to God, do you remember that time that we were talking about Siamese twins joined at the hair? And
oh yeah,
and it's a thing that sort of made, like, it's a question that made sense. Like, you wonder, well, how could there be Siamese twins joined at the hair, and how would they separate? And then, of course, you think about it for more than 8 seconds, and then, like, the rest of your brain starts working, and then you realize that it's just retarded. This I ask this question now knowing that it may be one of those things. But, so daylight savings time happens here, let's say, for our purpose, because it doesn't happen in Indiana, and it doesn't happen in Arizona, and I don't think it happens in Hawaii either. It does happen here. But Sarah had a really good question, which is that if daylight savings time is happening this weekend, how is it that England stays 8 hours ahead of us? Because that's the thing, right? Like daylight saving, like England is always 8 hours ahead of the Pacific time zone. Isn't that the case?
I think so.
So if that's the case, how is it that... How can that possibly be?
I mean, I'm so glad that you're confused by this. I wanted to ask you, but I felt so stupid. Because
no, you phrased this much better than I did. This morning.
Also, if we're the only country that does daylight savings time, and London is always ahead of us 8 hours, how is that possible?
And I don't think anybody else does daylight savings time. Like I think it is like an American only thing. Like I don't think that happens in Swaziland or anything. I think that daylight savings time is a thing that happens only here and possibly Canada. Because Canada, you know, Canada basically just does everything. They wait for us to do stuff, and then they just do their own version of it. They're sort of the Stone Temple Pilots of the international community. So if that's the case, I don't understand exactly how it works in relation to other countries. How does England know what time it is in a... You see what I'm saying? Like in my Franklin planner, I'm pretty sure it's like, it gives you like a little handy time zone calculator. Where it's like Australia, plus 14. You know, England, plus 8. You know, Switzerland, plus 5 or whatever it is. And it tells you how to calculate the time zones for different countries. But does that mean that it changes from year to year and from month to month? The whole thing is just mystifying to me. And just as I said this is the last day we're ever going to talk about the insect, this is the last time we're ever going to talk about daylight savings time.
Until they figure it out.
But I swear to God, this is all stuff that just mystifies me. So we'll do this, and then we got a break, because otherwise we're just going to get bogged down on this.
Did you ever read Justin's ranting email about it?
No.
Maybe that explains it.
No, I didn't. No, he was just going on and on about how I was an idiot, which doesn't really help me. See, that doesn't really...
That is not educating.
It doesn't help me quantify the problem. If you give me a fish, I eat for today, Justin, you dick. If you teach me to fish, then maybe you won't have to write long emails in all caps with a million exclamation marks anymore. All right. David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello. All right. I got to tell you, daylight savings happens...
I can sense there's some frustration
in the world.
Here. I can...
Because it happens everywhere else in the world.
Is that true?
It is true.
Now...
I did my... junior year abroad in Europe, and we had to change our clocks there in Italy. Now, also, it was a week, maybe 2 weeks before or after the United States did it. So for a time, we were only 7 hours ahead.
Now, is that the case now?
I don't know at the current time.
You're making all of this up, aren't you?
I am not making any of this up.
Okay, so let me ask you this. And there's no need. I sense that you're becoming angered about this. There's no need to be angry. There's no need to be bitter. There's no. Okay, now look. You shouldn't mock the lack of knowledge when someone is asking to help learn. When someone is trying to learn, David, you should embrace that.
Right. I fully agree with you.
I am coming to you humbled. I am coming to you with respect and tact, asking you to help me help myself here. So, Sunday morning. Let's call it Saturday night. This coming Saturday night, at 2 a.m., it becomes 3 a.m. here in Portland. Right? Now.
All across the nation, except, like you said.
Except Indiana and Arizona, whatever, because they're bastards. So, because they're trying to make things hard for everybody. Now, when I am setting my clock forward from 2 a.m. to 3 a.m., simultaneously, are people doing the same thing in Britain?
No.
When do they do this in Britain?
Well, now, see, this was 10, 12 years ago when I was in
You
Italy.
Don't know.
It was 2 weeks after. So for a two-week period...
Well, what the hell kind of sense is that? Why would they do it 2 weeks later?
I don't know. I don't know why they do it at all in the first place. It's supposed to be saving energy. I don't think they've ever shown a study that shows that it saves energy.
See, people will call in and they will say that it is wrong or that I'm strange for becoming irritated about this whole thing, but I'm sensing just the easiest bit of irritation on your end of the phone too, my friend.
Well, I don't like it. I don't like daylight savings.
Does it anger you?
It does.
Does it fill you with a black...
I don't know why we need to be artificially jet-lagged every year.
Does it fill you with a black viscous hate?
Not that bad.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Rick.
All right.
And one more thing.
Yeah. Well done. I was waiting for the I'm going to eat your soul. Okay, that was great. Fantastic. Is this...
No, we're not any closer to having the answer.
No one knows. No one knows. Hey, Scotty, this this line one, is this he who cannot be named? Right here, the right there. Line one. It is. Well, I... Now, for the love of God, hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Rick.
Is this George in Wilsonville?
No, it's not.
All right, okay, because every time I see George, I wonder if I've got to have the... I wonder if I've got to have the sounder ready. Okay, how can I help you, sir?
I just had a costume for you.
You have a what?
Sarah, Halloween costume.
You have a Halloween costume for Sarah, okay.
Sarah Insect Dylan.
Sarah Insect Dylan.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. I didn't know that it was going to be... Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, George. All right, thank you. Appreciate that. All right, let's see here. Let's do Kevin. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, I just wanted to share a little anecdote with you. They do daylight savings time in other countries.
Uh-huh.
But depending on who's running the government, they just put it at random times. Like, I found out Saddam Hussein, when we deployed, for a little while, we were trying to figure out what time we were supposed to set our clocks to when we first got there. And apparently, Saddam Hussein had this thing just to be obstinate about randomly appointing daylight savings time throughout the year.
Like, it would, like some days it would be like on in like June, and then another time it would be like in November?
Yeah, he just randomly decide what day it was going to start and stop.
That's pretty great, actually.
Yeah, well, you know, you gotta use that power somehow.
Well, seriously.
Maiming it by this time.
Yeah, you got to admire a guy who just wants to impose his own personal style. You know what I mean? Everybody else, when they become the grandly removable dictator of a country, they use it just to commit genocide and just, the raping and burning and looting and pillaging. You got to admire a guy
but
a guy, you have to sort of admire a guy who's actually just so bent on imposing his will on the country that Scotty's pointing, and like the pruning of hedges. Yeah, that he's ordering that no more wearing of white after Labor Day. Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
I got one for you here.
Yes.
Mr. Garrison Keillor.
Are we doing blended celebrities for Halloween already? Mr. Garrett, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. All right. It's like Emmanuel Lewis Farrakhan. That was a Dean Snyder, our general sales manager. Okay. Tim has presented me with a list of... It is hard to believe we're still talking about this, isn't it? Tim is presented with a list of countries who observe daylight savings time. This is like one of those USA Today infographics, you know. Where are we hiding dead bodies? 13% in basements. When is daylight savings time worldwide? Cuba, or Cuba, has observed daylight savings time since 2004. Honduras has observed daylight savings time. Listen to this. This is fantastic. Who would have thought that this is hilarious? Who would have really... You wouldn't have thought that there's this much comedic material in daylight savings time. Honduras observed daylight savings time during 1994, but that was it? And then Honduras observed... I swear to God, this is true. Honduras observed daylight savings time again in 2006, but only for 3 months. And then they stopped again. Let's see. Mexico has only done it since 1996. Nicaragua did it in 1992, 1995, 1998, and then again, and then in 2004, but never again. The Antarctic Peninsula, you know, in the Antarctic Peninsula, they follow whatever time it is in Chile. I swear to God, Pakistan did it in 2002, but then stopped. Kyrgyzstan, which I think is a made-up country, they did it in 2005. Taiwan, 1945 only, 1961, then they stopped, then 74, then they stopped,
okay,
then 82. During the summer, Russia's clocks are 2 hours ahead of standard time. This doesn't make any sense at all. No one knows how daylight savings time is supposed to go. We're going to do these final calls, and then I don't think we can ever talk about this again because I'm pretty sure the audience will come lynch me. But I find this fascinating. This is an object lesson.
Sunday, is London still going to be 8 hours?
I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe it'll just be 7.
I don't know. Well, then my Franklin planner is going to be wrong because it says 8. This is an object lesson in how your government doesn't really know what they're doing. Your government can't even figure out what goddamn time it is. See, yeah, Scotty's typing the screen. This is ridiculous. What time is it? I don't know. All right, Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
So, Britain goes to what they call British summertime on March 25th at 1 GMT.
Okay.
and then they go back on October 28th.
All right. So why don't they do it? Why doesn't everybody do it the same day? Why do they wait 2 weeks after we've done it? That just seems absurd.
I don't know. They're British.
Thank you.
All right.
Fantastic. He's from Barcelona. Two more, and then we're done. Kevin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. No, I think we've already done, Kevin. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
I honestly don't know. I really can't answer that.
Well, yeah, I was in Egypt back in 2002, and as far as the other callers are going, 2 weeks prior to what we were doing, they were doing it too. So
Egypt did it 2 weeks early?
2 weeks earlier than the U.S., yeah. I don't know why. Don't ask me.
You sound preemptively sick of the whole thing.
Well, everyone there is going, what the hell is going on? So anyway.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
That's John. Fantastic. All right. There you go. Rick, the early American railroad system developed the national time zones to prevent further railroad crashes due to scheduling. This is like that whole thing about, oh, who is Jimmy and why did he crack corn yesterday? They were never going to revisit. All right, we're done. It's 503. Done. 503-733-2970. We come back around the corner with Lisa Goddard from CNN. Shortly after that, Tim Riley brings you the Ministry of Truth and the AM 970 News Hour. Later on, Scott Daly and Jim Ruffy. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Today's one of those days I can't figure out whether I want to sit or stand. Life is hard.
I'm feeling kind of indecisive today, too.
It's tough being an American. All right. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. I swear to God, Jim Roop is going to be talking to us later. You know? Well, of course you did. You booked him. Let's pretend I didn't do that. Hello, you out there in Radio Land. Guess what Jim Roop is going to be talking about today? I swear to holy God, Jim Roop is going to be talking about paper versus plastic. I swear to Christ, that's what he's talking about. It's 503-733-2970. Scotty is saying there is no radio. There is Radio Land. It's right next to TV Land, Scotty. It's right next to Pleasantville. If you'd like to email us, you can also do that. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Ladies and gentlemen, back the hell up. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the Hill, CNN radio correspondent and living goddess, Lisa Goddard. Hello.
Wow, hello.
Yes. You know, just what I'm trying to make up for yesterday's apparently lackluster opening. you would observe that my opening yesterday seemed a little bit sullen and besmirched.
You were a little anemic. I was concerned about you physically.
I was anemic, and you were concerned about me physically. And this, you could observe all of this over the telephone. Is this like phrenology, where you come and examine the bumps on my head to figure out exactly what's ailing me?
Anemia's going around. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Hey, let me. Whoa, that was a weird noise.
Oh, Mike.
All right, there was a large bump. Hey, let me ask you this.
Yes.
If I was to ask you right now...
Are you really going to?
No, I'm just gonna make this observation.
I bet she knows.
This is the last day we're ever going to talk about daylight savings time. I swear to God, we're never going to mention it again.
All right, no
problem. Because as of Monday, it becomes a moot point. I'm just going to say this. Did you know that, for example, Nicaragua observed daylight savings time in 1992, then in 1994, then in 2004, but none of the other years. Honduras observed daylight savings time in 1994, and then not again until 2006, and then only for 3 months.
I know. How do you do that?
I have no idea. Also, in the Antarctic Peninsula, they always follow the time of Chile. So whatever time it is in Chile, that's what time it is in the Antarctic Peninsula, just so you know.
Really? Wow.
South Korea observed daylight savings time in 1948, 1951, 1955, 1960, 1987, and 2001. There you go.
Oh.
And also, my Franklin planner claims that at all times, England is 8 hours ahead of us, which doesn't really make any sense, because we don't celebrate daylight savings time at the same point in the calendar. So the whole thing is just a freakish lie. It is a huge untruth foisted upon us by our corrupt leaders, Lisa Goddard, and I'm going to stick to that.
Subjugated.
I'm just saying, just so you know, it is one other thing that the government is unable to do effectively and efficiently. Just so you know.
Add it to the stack. Right, there actually was a press conference this week on daylight savings time, and I tried to get it for you guys, but I couldn't because there was all this Iraq mess going on. And I made that the priority. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. I mean, you say tomato, I say daylight saving. It doesn't matter.
Right. Well, the new chairman of the special committee that Nancy Pelosi has established on global warming, he's the guy that's upset about daylight saving. So maybe there'll be something done.
I guarantee you he's not as upset as I am. Not as upset as I and certain members of the Rick Emerson audience are. There were people actually calling about this. It's like when we did this whole thing about in what order should you show the Star Wars films to somebody who's never seen any of them? And we had listeners call up that just about 10 seconds into the phone call would become apoplectic with rage, and they would literally be unable to speak, and they would just sort of gibber themselves to a stop and then hang up the phone. So, all right. Hey, speaking of all things governmental, and this is more of a thing that Constantini was talking about, but I'm assuming it's coming...
Right on, Noodles, yeah.
It's coming across your transom, too, I would imagine. This is... Now, is it true that George W. Bush is at the lowest approval rating of any second-term president in 56 years?
Yes, that is true, but his approval ratings, I think they just went up, to quote the CNN language I saw this morning, they went up a speck in the last week.
Is a speck like a bushel or a peck or a squinch?
Yes, I don't know. It's very small.
So where are they at now, and how do they determine this? Do they just call people at home and they say, George Bush, or with anybody, does George Bush yes or no, or do they say, do they do that old, is the country in the right direction question? How do they determine it? What do they ask people, do you think?
You know, and what they ask people is so important. I don't know what they ask people on each specific poll, but I think often with the approval rating, the reason it's called the approval rating is most often that question is, do you approve of the job the president's doing? And then you get a, you know, percentage. Right. Sometimes people are given a choice, given that strongly approve, you know, don't care, disapprove, strongly disapprove. And then a lot of times you bundle in those two top categories, strongly approve and approve, to get an approval rating. So you can do it either way. And you see both of them from time to time.
And there's been all of this talk in the last couple of days. We've talked about the Democrats are trying yet another sort of end run around the president to try to get to impose some sort of external leverage on George Bush to get him to bring down the curtain on this whole mess in Iraq. And is the conventional wisdom that the Democrats are making some sort of gains, that they're accomplishing anything? Is the conventional wisdom that they're accomplishing nothing, or is it just too soon to tell what people? And again, I'm speaking strictly in perception terms.
Mm-hmm. I think it's too soon to tell, but I think that the perception is Democrats, especially Democratic leaders, are becoming increasingly frustrated because they know that there is broad agreement against the Iraq war, against the way that it's being run right now. But then when you get down to really writing out a bill expressing specifics, that's where it really comes apart. And in fact, there's some YouTube video that people might want to check out. Representative David Obey, very important head of the Appropriations Committee, he's the one heading up this newest effort to tie a troop withdrawal in Iraq to the supplemental spending, that $100 billion bill or thereabouts. And there's YouTube video of an anti-Iraq war group kind of comes up to him in the hallway and says, well, why don't you just cut off all the funding? And he really, he gets pretty fired up, and it's a little awkward. He says, we don't have the votes. He doesn't know he's being filmed. He says, we don't have the votes. He opens his jacket. It's a great moment. Do you see a magic wand in my coat? He points us out to this one woman who's kind of blinking at him. I don't have a magic wand. We don't have the votes.
Fantastic.
So, they're obviously very frustrated. They know that there's broad agreement on a general premise, but they just can't seem to nail down exactly how to stop the war in Iraq. This latest supplemental bill proposal is very interesting, and I think it's going to create a lot of PR wars between Democrats and the White House. And I think on that proposal, it's too soon to say, perception-wise, what that's going to do. Doesn't look like that will become law because the president will veto it, but perception-wise, that could help Democrats and it could help those who oppose the war. It's hard to say.
Not to sound overtly cynical about this, but you do have to wonder. To what extent. I mean, the Democrats, how do I put this? The war isn't going to stop anytime soon, regardless of who decides to do what, and regardless of what legislation gets passed. The Democrats are in this whole inverted pyramid of a party right now, that where all of their, kind of like Howard Dean did, all of their momentum and inertia is coming from opposition to the Iraq war right now. And it does make you wonder if they're going to get into a mode where if the Iraq war ever does end, if they have nothing left to campaign on.
So. Well, it will be interesting to see what they do. You know, they do have other issues. They have talked about minimum wage. that is still mired in the Senate, even though they're putting that in this same Iraq bill, to tell you the truth, that this whole troop withdrawal bill also contains an increase in the minimum wage. But they do have a lot of other social issues. They've got some tuition loans. They want to increase loans for higher education, those kinds of things. They do have a couple of issues, but clearly Iraq is the big bat they're swinging right now.
Just as a speaking of big bats and swinging and so forth, just a side note, is there any, do you hear anything, how do I put it, your people with your feelers on the ground, do you hear anything about Newt Gingrich preparing to run for president?
There's a lot of talk about that, a lot of curiosity.
Really?
In fact, I'm getting more emails from his folks and his folks, his people's people. You do see him out more.
There's no way. There's no way on God's green earth he would ever be elected, ever.
West Coaster, you know, go to Georgia and they'll talk about, you know, anyone who has any hope of being president. There are five people around them that will convince them they've got a shot. I'll tell you, the Republicans have a problem. They don't have, they themselves aren't clear on who they want as a candidate. They're very divided, and I think Republicans, that cup is still up for grabs, and I think that's why Newt Gingrich, I think he does have maybe a shot. I wouldn't say a very good shot. But he's not the lowest on the list.
Well, I mean, I guess in as much as, like, they haven't picked anybody yet, everybody, I mean, I suppose, I guess that's like saying that I might be able to go sing for Van Halen right now because they haven't officially hired anybody. But it's probably not going to happen. He seems like a very, like a political realist. And it would seem like he's just got so much baggage. I mean, he's been divorced twice and he's an adulterer and, you know, I mean, it just, and he, you know, he kind of
knows how to talk conservative. He really does know how to do it. And right now you've got Mitt Romney, you've got John McCain, and conservatives are not really happy with either of those guys. They don't buy that they're legitimate conservatives.
Yeah.
Looking for someone that's a little bit whole cloth. You've got Jim Gilmore in Virginia, but he's just not very well known.
Yeah.
So it's a race among conservatives, and that's the hope Newt Gingrich has.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd love to see it. I mean, hey, because Newt Gingrich, I mean, I will say this. Newt Gingrich seems like a smart guy. I mean, that's an understatement, obviously, but he's a smart guy. He's a savvy guy. He's, and there is this sort of mischievous, or one might say mischievous gleam in his eye.
It's true.
Where he does seem to have just a great deal of fun just being a bastard. And I say that, I don't mean that to sound snarky. I mean, he really is just a bomb thrower. But he seems to have, there's a sort of zestful way. He just has this, he's like William Donahue from the Catholic League. He just, he just has this gleeful brimstone about him.
He'll surprise you too. And he kissed and made up with Hillary Clinton a while back.
Yeah, but.
And he's back after, so there's good stuff there.
How much would you love to see Newt Gingrich run against Hillary Clinton? I mean, come on. Oh. Come on.
That would be a, wow.
I mean, CNN would get like a 50 share. I mean, it's just, it would just be, that'd be the, that's the best pairing I could possibly think of, except for Jeb Bush.
I mean, I'll tell you what, as long as they kept their voices down to a certain decibel.
Because
I don't think I can handle either one of them when they scream.
That's the sort of thing that can buy Gary Trudeau a new house. You know what I mean?
True.
All right.
Before you let me go, I got to tell you a couple things.
Okay.
Is that okay? First of all, James Brown body, we still don't know.
Wait, hold on. Where's my James Brown sounder here?
James Brown is dead.
So it's what, 73 days?
That's right. I think so. I haven't done the count. I know it's since
74.
74.
Since Christmas. And apparently they took a DNA sample out just earlier this week.
That couldn't have been very hard.
That is probably not.
Take a Dixie cup.
And now nobody's really talking about when or where the burial.
So they've just given up the idea he's going to be buried anytime soon.
Yeah, maybe this is part of a museum plan. We don't know.
All right.
So, and then also, you know, President Bush traveling through South America. A friend of mine at the Associated Press has just sent out a story that's fantastic, saying that a group of Mayan priests are going to purify one of their sites that the president is visiting after he leaves.
Sort of a sort of like after the Weekenders use the studio, I come through with a big thing of Lysol and a sponge.
To eliminate bad spirits, they're actually going to be doing their Mayan rituals there. Mel Gibson disappeared. We don't know if he's
fantastic, excellent. Oh, and just since we're trading little side notes, I will leave you with this. Did you ever get to watch that horrific internet pilot for that Fox News half hour news hour thing?
I did, and then I went down and talked to the Fox producer. I said, "You've got to watch this." This is really one of the worst things I've ever seen. I'm not all about CNN versus Fox. That's not my thing. But I mean, CNN has had some bad shows, to be honest, too. But this was really awful.
So
what was it called? It was
the Half Hour News Hour.
Okay.
It is among the worst things that's ever existed.
It was almost Saturday Night Live, like almost such a parody that it was almost funny. It was so bad, but it wasn't. It was just...
No, it's worse than smallpox. You'll be happy to know that that Fox News has ordered 13 episodes of that show to begin running. Yes. Yes, they have ordered the keen judges of talent and quality that they are. They have ordered 13 episodes of that horrific show to run.
Oh my God!
So you got that to look forward to. So I'd say that and a bottle of red wine, you got a whole evening lined up for you.
If not a weekend, that's fabulous.
All right, there you go, Lisa Goddard. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you soon, sister.
You guys too. Talk to you later. Right,
thank you. There you go, Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen from the Hill. I hope Tyler Moody heard that. That was an exceptional exchange today. Fantastic.
Is he already in town?
I don't know. I would imagine. Yeah, I got nothing. I think he's staying in a hotel somewhere because he asked for directions from blah, 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 blah. So I guess I think he's staying here. I don't know why he's in town. Tyler Moody, who is one of the bosses at CNN, who is the overlord above Lisa and Jim and all those guys. It's 503-733-2970. Just read a couple of these, then we got a break. Rick, please never, never, never again discuss at such length the topic of insects. It makes me vomit. I was literally covering my ears and repeating the word no during your X-Acto knife story. Alas, morbid curiosity got the best of me, and I listened all the way through. Why, God, why?
Watch out for your shower if you live in Southeast.
Seriously. Rick, I need your advice. My wife is taking me out for Mai Tais tonight. Oh, I'm sorry, Mai Tais and Popua? P-U-P-U. Popu? Whatever the hell that is. Is it a food?
I'm not even going to attempt. I don't know.
Well, I would just, I'd fake
P-U-P-U?
That you've got, I guess. I would fake that you've got hantavirus, sir. Rick, this email says you can't just come out and say Eddie Van Halen is dead like that. I threw up in my own mouth. I'm so tired of people saying that. I'm so tired of people saying I just threw up a little in my mouth. Stop it. Stop it. You know, Tim Savage was making that point a few weeks ago. I'm tired. Quit saying that. Anyway, he says, I threw up profusely in my own mouth. Why would you?
Okay.
Like, as opposed to someone else's mouth. Anyway, you always throw up in your own mouth, unless you are involved in some weird fetish that outstrips anything I'm interested in. Your own mouth is always where you throw up. Until you went on to say that he wasn't actually dead. There are guitar players in your audience who will identify with me and flock to my side to destroy you. Watch yourself. Whatever. I'm just making it. It was a little comedic. It was a little the comedic flight of fancy. A little linguistic trill is all that was. Anyway, well, we should take a break here. It's 503-733. I'm just saying he looks like he's dead. I'm telling you, go to rickemerson.com right now.
Yeah, he's not looking so well.
You go to rickemerson.com right now. You look at that picture of Eddie Van Halen. You tell me he doesn't look like the walking dead. All right. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show. Tim Riley around the corner. You stay there. Don't go anywhere. It's AM 970 Solid State Radio.